Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Where is the speaker? That's the speaker. You're all able to hear?
Yes.
In the corner? Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So very happy to be here for this garden satsang. At the house of Hari Kirtan, Prabhu Maharas, Mataji and Mata. I thought I'll speak on a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, the only practical use for your smartphones, now you can take it out. chapter 7, text 26. And if you have a copy of Bhagavad Gita here, some extra copies, you can have that as well. 7.26. The chapter is titled
The Dates and Addresses of the 90.
Oh, what is that? What happened? Some ghost or what?
Spiritual one.
This chapter, seventh chapter, is titled Knowledge of the Absolute. Who is the Absolute?
Krishna.
Krishna. So Krishna is speaking about himself. You see, that is why the Bhagavad Gita is special. In many other places we find somebody says, that is Krishna, that is God, this is God. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, I am God. And this is how I am God. And this is what it means to be God. People generally do not understand what it means to be God. And therefore, if someone can display even a little miracle, then he is considered to be God. If someone can levitate a little bit, or maybe walk a little bit in the water, or perhaps produce some ash or some gold out of thin air, then he's considered God. But it just shows how deep the level of ignorance in the society is, that they have absolutely no idea what God means. If God is the origin of everything, the source from whom everything emanates, that is something. Just by producing a little bit of water, or walking on the water, producing a little bit of ash, doesn't make one God. This is just possible by a little bit of yogic power. But Krishna is Yogeshwara, as is declared in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. I hope people know.
Hopefully they are hearing you as well.
Yes, Sanjay says that whenever there is Yogeshwara, that is the master of all mystics, and there will, and wherever there is Krishna, Partha, Anuttara, who is the holder of the bow, and there will always be auspiciousness, opulence, victory, etc. So Krishna is not just a yogi, he is Yogeshwara, he is the lord of all the mystics. Some particular yogis can produce a few things and perform a few things that will bewilder ordinary people, ignorant people, who get very impressed by a display of such very insignificant powers. There was a yogi, a magician actually, who came to New Vrindavan one time, and he displayed some magical tricks and he made lots of things disappear. And everybody enjoyed it. Prabhupada also had a hearty laugh. He also enjoyed the whole entertainment. And then Prabhupada asked him a question because he was making all sorts of things disappear. He said, can you make birth, death, old age and disease disappear? Then that magician who had come from India, he said, no, Swamiji, that you can do. That is your magic. So you are the real magician. And Prabhupada could do it because he understood who is God, what is God. And he loved God. And he taught everybody how to love God and therefore become free from the cycle of birth and death. There were other yogis who came. There was one man who came. And with his teeth, he pulled a car. A rope or something was tied, and it was tied to the car, and he pulled it with his teeth. Now, that's something, isn't it? Not something we suggest anybody imitates, but some kind of mystic power. But Prabhupada was not impressed. Neither were the devotees impressed. Because even though from the ordinary point of view it may seem exceptional, but from a devotional point of view, it's completely insignificant. We also know the story of that man who went to the Himalayas from his village, and for 12 long years he lived with the yogis and performed lots of austerities. And he learned how to walk on water. So he came back to his village and he declared grandly that there will be an exhibition of walking on water. And naturally the entire village gathered eager to see this remarkable display, this miracle. And then he was walking and he walked on the water and then he came all the way back. Walking in the water, and everybody was struck with wonder. And when he reached the shore again, the banks of the river, then everybody fell at his feet and started declaring him to be God, because he could walk on the water. And then there was another man. He was a nice devotee. I think he lived in Harrow somewhere. He was because he had been well trained in Harrow. So he said, no, this is, they were all praising him, so he said, I don't praise him. So when the man came back, he asked him, why are you not appreciating what I've done? He said, your feet is only worth 25 paise, or let's say 25 pence, whatever you want to call it. It's a bean, anyway. It's only worth 25 pence. He said, what do you mean? He said, look, you know, if I take a boat, I'll be able to cross it and come back in 25 pence. So why do I need, and you took 12 years to go across the river and come back. And I can just pay 25 pence and I can go and come. So I can do what you did just by paying 25 pence. So your 12 years of austerity is equal to 25 pence for me. Because I can do the same thing that you did, cross the river and come back, by paying 25 pence. He was trying to point out the futility of learning such mystic powers. This is only there to gain some cheap popularity and name and fame and gather a following. But there is no spiritual substance to these things. And then ignorant people who are largely gullible, they proclaim these people as God, and then unscrupulous such yogis don't deny it. You know, if you're actually honest, then you will deny it if somebody says you're God. And it happened in the case of some people. One of Prabhupada's disciples went and spoke to one so-called Bhagavan in India, and he asked him, you proclaim yourself to be God, your title is Bhagavan. He said, no, I don't claim I'm God. He said, your followers do, and they call you Bhagavan. He said, my followers do, but I don't claim. So then the devotee countered, He said, if you don't believe you're God, why don't you stop your devotees from calling you God? The fact that you don't deny it means that you agree with it. There's a Sanskrit proverb which says, Maunam Sammati Lakshanam. In many cases, silence is indicative of assent. That means you agree with something. Have you murdered that person? Quiet. No person. Well, it's likely that the silence is indicative of guilt. But Prabhupada was not like that. Whenever some of his disciples, and it did happen at one time, they started proclaiming him as an avatar, he was furious. And he would always take every opportunity to make the point that he was not God, that rather he was a servant of God. He was a devotee of God. So because people don't understand the concept of God and what it means to be God, so they get misled by people who are cheaters and who are unscrupulous. So we have to carefully study Bhagavad Gita in order to understand who God is, what God is, from God's own lips. It's not a question of somebody else declaring it. The Supreme Lord Himself declares it. And one of the symptoms or characteristics of the Supreme Lord is given here in the 26th verse of this 7th chapter. So if anybody claims that he is God, he must at least fulfill the requirements of this one verse. There are many other conditions which are given in other parts of the Bhagavad Gita. By the way, we've talked about it before. What are some of the indications if someone claims that he is an avatar? What conditions must he fulfill? What criteria must be fulfilled in order for us to accept him as an avatar?
It should be written in scriptures.
Sorry?
His mention along with details,
yes,
should be there in scriptures.
He should be prophesied in the scriptures.
Yes.
In other words, there should be a prophecy about him given in the scriptures long ago. In other words, the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, should have foretold his appearance far in advance of his birth. So the first thing you have to ask him is, my dear sir, you claim you're God. Has your birth been foretold in the scriptures? Please tell me which scripture, which verse. That's number one. Okay, what's number two? Yes?
Does he come with his associates?
Well, not exactly. I mean, he does come with his associates, but he can say, these are my associates. What else? He displays six kinds of opulences. Okay. Fine. But a specific one.
Does he have marks on his
body? He must have the auspicious marks on his body that are described in the scriptures. There are specific marks on the soles of his feet, on the palms of his hand, the way his body is structured, the features, etc. So that's the second point. So we must ask him, please show us the soles of your feet, which he'll happily do, and then your palms, and let us see if it conforms to the descriptions of God. What is the third criterion? Action of the Lord must lift or must perform some extraordinarily uncommon activities impossible for humans to perform. And number four, what's in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita?
Virat
Roop. He must show his universal form. Gigantic universal form. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking about this in the early days of ISKCON. So one man who was a little intoxicated, he stood up and said, okay, I'll show you my universal form, because Prabhupada was describing what Krishna had described in the, what was described in the 11th chapter. He stood up on his toes and then raised his arms and said, here is the universal form. So not that kind of universal form. We have to see the real universal form. So these are four criteria that indicate that a person is God. And if he doesn't fulfill them, then we don't accept. So what are the four criteria? Number one? Able to fulfill this condition of this criteria that is mentioned in verse 26. There are extraordinarily powerful and empowered entities, great saints, for example, who can to some degree fulfill this, but not completely like Krishna. So let's read this verse and understand what one of the defining characteristics of God is. Verse 26, chapter 7. Veda.
Veda.
Aham.
Aham.
Samatitani.
Samatitani.
Vartamanani.
Vartamanani.
Cha.
Cha.
Vedaham samatitani
Vartamanani charjuna
Vartamanani charjuna
Bhavishyani cha bhutani
Bhavishyani cha bhutani
Mamtu vedana kashchana
Mamtu vedana kashchana Vedaham samatitani Vartamanani charjuna Bhavishyani cha bhutani Mamtu vedana kashchana
Veda
Veda
No
No
Aham
Aham
I
I
Samatitani
Samatitani
Everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Unlike the ordinary human being, Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth, that has happened in the past,
that has happened in the past,
all that is happening,
I also know
all living entities.
All living entities.
But me.
But me.
No one knows.
No one knows.
This is what it means to be. He knows what will happen to it way till the end of this body. And he also knows what will happen in the future. He knows what has happened in the past. In the first part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the personality of Godhead. And he says that there are some people who take him to be impersonal, just some light. But that is not so. And he mentions here, if his body were to be made of material elements just like our body, then he would forget. And Prabhupada makes a very important point here. How many of you have had the question in your mind, or how many of you have been asked this question by somebody, that if there is something called the past life, then why don't I remember it? Why don't we remember it? How many of you have heard this question and thought of this question? Practically everybody. And the answer is given here. Srila Prabhupada says, anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in past, present, and future. So what is it that makes us forget our previous lives? It's this material body. Because matter leads to forgetfulness. Spirit is full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. Whereas matter, forms made of matter, they are full of ignorance and forgetfulness, and they are temporary. So the clear answer to why don't we remember our previous lives is what?
Because
we have material bodies. Very simple answer. And therefore these material bodies, being destructible, being perishable, they wipe out the traces of our memory of the past. In very rare instances, there may be cases where people do remember, but that's not very pleasant actually. It's not a very happy occurrence to remember your past lives. It's not going to increase your happiness in any way. And he refers later on to a certain episode in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Lord Krishna describes Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Abhyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bhavi. He says, my dear Arjuna, this is not the first time that I am speaking the Bhagavad Gita. I have spoken the Bhagavad Gita before, and I spoke it to the sun god Vivasvan, who then spoke it to his son Manu, who in turn spoke it to his son Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam imam rajar shayo vikuru sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa. And in this way, the disciplic succession of saintly kings, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was transmitted from generation to generation, and this went on for a long, long time. However, somewhere down the line, what happened? Sa evaya maya tebhya yoga proktah puratanah bhakto sine sakhachiti rahasya vedaduttamam. Now I am describing this knowledge to you again because it was broken before. It was somehow the other. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshi vidhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta. And the sun god was born millions of years earlier. So Krishna says, aparam bhavato janmasi, your birth is junior. And the sun god's birth is senior to you and to me. So, katham etat vijaniyan, how do I understand that you spoke to him, that you spoke to the sun god? So this is the reference that Prabhupada is giving here. And then Krishna tells him a beautiful verse that resembles the current verse that we are reading. What is that verse? Does anybody know? Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna then tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vekta parantam. He says, my dear Arjuna, we both had many heard it before. What is Mayavad? What is the meaning of it actually? Vad means a philosophy or a thought.
Denying the personal aspect of
Lord? Denying the personal aspect of the Lord, yes. But actually, what does the word imply? Mayavad. What is Maya?
Believing in that which is not. Believing in that which is not.
That is the word Maya. But Mayavad as a philosophy?
Their philosophy is
excellent. So please read this as your homework. When you go back home, please read 7.24. What does Krishna say? Avyaktam. Okay. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante maam.